Welcome to the Thyroid Fixer podcast, where we dive deep into the world of thyroid and hormones, especially for you ladies navigating perimenopause and menopause, and really for anyone struggling with hypothyroidism. I'm your host, Dr. Amy, thyroid and hormone specialist and CEO of a global telemedicine practice where we prescribe the right thyroid treatment and bioidentical hormones to all 50 states and most of Canada, helping you become that badass human that you're meant to be. So if you're battling weight gain and hair loss, you can't lose weight no matter what you do, your energy levels are plummeting and your libido left town, then you're in the right place and you have found your tribe. Remember, I want you to embrace every inch of that badass woman that you truly are. So if you're ready to dive in and fix things, let's get started. You know, I couldn't decide on a title for this podcast. I was tossing around the ideas of bringing the underground above ground. What would entice you to listen? Because this episode is actually very important, very insightful, very explicit. So, you know, if F-bombs offend you, you can't listen to this one. You can't listen to L. Russ. But if you're open-minded and you actually want to learn about the underground world of bodybuilding and what was used or what is used, what was used, because I was in that world, and how it can be applied today. Because as I always say, bodybuilders are the OGs of biohacking. And what we did to ourselves, what we experimented with on ourselves, is what y'all are using now in the biohacking space. Peptides didn't start with Andrew Huberman. They started with bodybuilders way back in the day. So I wanted to dig into the mind of Dylan Jamelli because he is an expert in this world. First of all, he's a world-renowned NASM certified personal trainer. He's a fitness nutrition expert. He's a weight loss expert. And he has a huge YouTube and Instagram channel where he goes deep and he discusses the worlds of SARMs and steroids. And if you don't know what that is, we're going to get into that. What is a SARM, Amy? We're going to dive deep into this. Anabolic steroids, you know, they really did get a bad rap in the fitness industry. They really did. And, you know, to some extent, have they been used and abused? Absolutely. But what about things like Anavar or oxandrolone that we now prescribe to our patients, to our women in their 50s, 60s, and 70s to hold on to their muscle? So that's just one example of how the underground world has come to the surface. And now common, we'll say, protocols that bodybuilders use, that the fitness industry used, are now being used in soccer moms, in dudes that are aging and their muscles are starting to disappear along with their sagging skin and inability to perform sexually. All of these situations, all of these conditions, or just aging in general, can actually be helped through the use of peptides, SARMs, and even some anabolic steroids when used properly. So Dylan and I just get really real. Bottom line is we get really, really real. So if you want to have your mind explode, if you want to learn things that you can actually do and use on yourself that may be out of the box, unconventional, if you want to just be entertained, then keep listening. It's a long one because it was really that good. Dylan, welcome to the show. This is going to be something a little bit different for my audience because we're talking about things that, quite frankly, we really haven't laid out on the show yet in 470 some episodes. And as you and I were talking off air, I'm actually kind of surprised I haven't brought your knowledge to my audience yet because of my background. I mean, I was in the bodybuilding space. I love peptides. I love all this underground shit that I think shouldn't stay underground. It shouldn't stay with the bodybuilding community and be nothing but bro science. It should come to the forefront and be available for all biohackers, all women, all men. I don't care if you're a soccer mom or if you're a 50-year-old dude just trying to maintain your health and longevity and your sex appeal. This should be knowledge that is used and known and given to everyone. So I'm really pumped up about this conversation, about this episode, because this is totally different. If you're just tuning in, this is totally different than anything I've talked about yet on the show. So this is going to be fun.
Oh yeah. I am beyond excited, grateful to be here. And I'm looking forward to it in a major way.
So, you know, there's so much that we can talk about, but let's start with the known and we'll kind of make our way to the unknown.
Yeah, so people, let's do it.
You know, they hear me talk about peptides. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, unless you're living under a rock, you've heard the term peptides. Mm-hmm. And if you're like, wait, what? Okay, GLPs. Remember, we talk about semaglutide, tirzepatide, Ozempic, Mounjaro, Trulicity. Those are peptides. So if you didn't know that, you know that now. So when we're talking about peptides, I'm going to hand it over to you to really kind of describe what a peptide is, and then we can go into the known and the unknown in the peptide world. But you know, I think most people at least know, even if they haven't tried it, about peptides in the biohacking space. So what are they?
So, I mean, I'm just going to try to keep it like super, super simple, because you can always get like really overly scientific and just very basic. They're just short chains of amino acids, and they really kind of function primarily through signaling pathways. So they're kind of recognizable because they have the ability to target specific areas or functions in the body. And the beauty of them is the side effects are quite minimal. Some of the primary benefits that you'll see with them is like boosting growth hormone production, aiding in recovery and healing. There's some that have they provide specific benefits like fat loss, for example, like we were talking about with Ozempic and tirzepatide, but those haven't been around, you know, nearly as long as a lot of the other ones. A lot of them that were, when I started, were like GHRPs, growth releasing hormone peptides. Mm-hmm. See where they're at now and where they come from is quite a story, and I can get into that later, but essentially they're short chains of amino acids. And that should bring comfort to people when you realize exactly what they are, because there's a big confusion on what they are. And a lot of people do have fear of them. And the term peptides gets thrown around a lot, and it's just misunderstood. When I started, like I was telling you before, there was like 7 to 10 peptides that you could find. And now there's like hundreds, even thousands out there that do so many different functions. It's insane. So
now wait, why is that? Is that just because those first 7 to 10, maybe scientists were like, hey, this is really cool shit, let's make more? Or how did the more evolve?
So, and that's what's crazy. So just a little background. When I started doing all of this, it was 2011, and there was nobody online talking about steroids at all. Nobody. And I had the willingness to go ahead and try. I was trying to do something with myself. I was kind of at a loss, at a crossroads on where I was going. I had to start my life over, as you already know, at that age. And so I started to dig into, you know, talking about steroids, talking about things nobody would talk about, in discussing, really primarily trying to get people to not use them, but knowing that they are using them, and trying to teach them how to safely do it and effectively without just crippling themselves. And during this time period, I was being like a rep, like a supplement rep for a company, and they're the ones that were helping me to start the videos. Well, they brought to me, hey, you know, you're doing this for us. We want you to start repping for research chemical companies. And I'm sitting there going, I don't know what in the hell a research chemical company is. And I told them, I said, look, you know, I'm happy to take on all the work right now and do whatever I can, but I need to know what the hell I'm talking about. So I start understanding, because these research chemical companies say not for human use, not for human consumption.
Right.
And I'm going, fuck, like, what am I doing here? Like, what are you guys doing? Well, I start to learn the ins and outs and the verbiage and how you can legally sell a lot of these things. It's a very, very gray area still to this day, right? And saying that something's used for research purposes, you can't say anything if you're selling these that has to do with results, bodybuilding. All you can really do is cite animal studies and talk about rats. And that's a whole nother story that people with their stupid verbiage, like, oh, I'm, you know, they ask you questions like, well, my pet rat wants to do this. And I'm like, listen, fucker, just ask me the question. Nobody's going to come knocking down your door because you're using a peptide, right?
Right.
So when I started, SARMs was my big thing, right? That's what I'm known for. That's my thing. But then I started to get into the peptide aspect. And when it started, we had ipamorelin, GHRP2, GHRP6, CJC1295, and melanotan too, you know? And that's, I guess, like there was some semirelin, hexarelins that were, people weren't really knowing. The 5-6 that I just listed are what most everybody was talking about using and what I got educated on.
And they were those are all surrounding growth hormone, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. We're talking about like growth releasing hormone. And HGH fragment. And that's basically just a fragment of HGH. And it was always known as weaker, but good for fat loss. So okay, with peptides, like now you look at them and you're not thinking bodybuilders. You're not thinking that when you look at them. Right. Back then, that was all that we were looking at. Practitioners, clinics, they didn't know anything about them. I've talked to so many people that run practices and they always say, oh, the bodybuilders were ahead. Well, that's partially true, but the bodybuilders didn't know shit. You know, all they want to do is get big. They don't care about anything else at all. I'm talking, and I don't want to say that about all of them because I got some good friends, but I'm talking, I speak with people that are, I think are operating on a fraction of a brain cell because of all the shit they've taken.
Oh, no doubt. But I will jump in here. I always say that bodybuilders are the OGs of biohacking because I put myself in that category back in the day. We tried stuff on ourselves that are like just now it's popular. I remember trying GHRP2 and GHRP6 probably right around that time, like 2011, 12, something around there. And you know, it was one of those things that it worked in the beginning, but I actually experimented with real HGH back in the day. And I want to pick your brain about that too. But really, I mean, I think even though the bodybuilders are just using it to get big and shredded, they paved the way for common folk to now expand their mind. And basically that's what this whole conversation is, that, okay, it doesn't have to stay underground. It doesn't have to stay in the gym. We can actually use these things for health, longevity, performance, appearance, all of it.
Well, and I think you'd agree too, like animal studies are great. We need studies, but that doesn't always relate to a human. And in fact, many times it does not. And one of the benefits of being in the community that I've been in for so long is that I'm able to observe people doing it on themselves. I will always go and cite my science and cite my studies, but when people ask me, I will always tell them, I'm going to take what I see real world and what I see constantly over hundreds and sometimes thousands of people that I've dealt with over the years, way more than some study that could be manipulated, flawed, done on an animal, had some sort of motive behind it. Yeah. All this double, and they use all these big words that people don't understand, double blind this, all of this bullshit. You know what I care about? Somebody that's going, hey, I'm running X amount of this for 8 weeks. I'm doing it like this. And this is what happened to me, you know, and I can develop some sort of consistent guideline off of that with the realization and understanding that all of us are different. That's one of the things I would like to stress while we're doing this. And I don't mean to jump off topic, just to anybody listening. I can go back and forth with you, Amy, and I can tell you, look, this is supposed to do this if you take this dose, and this is what you can expect. But that does not always translate. It just doesn't. And so you have to understand when I'm giving advice or you're giving advice, that may be what's general, but your body's different than my body. You know, some people are more estrogen prone. Some people are more prone to XYZ. You have to be careful. I always tell people start slow because you can always add more. But if you start off too high, you're fucked because you've already hurt yourself and you may have to stop or you've created a problem.
Right.
You want to mitigate the problem. Be smart, slow, ease into it. And like I said, you can always add more. Right.
Right.
If you eat a whole cake, you can't take it back. If you take a little bite and go, OK, I can have a little bit more. OK, fine. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep,
everything's trial and error. So I stress that because in my world, the concept is more is always better. More is always better.
Yeah.
And with PEDs, And with a lot of things in life, oftentimes more is worse or brings more problems. So just, you know,
I'm glad you said that. That's a good point.
You know, and I don't want to get all Confucius on here on everybody, but that's just practical reality of right. things. And I've taken a lot of shit over the years because I don't give people what they want to hear. I don't tell you, oh, you know, you can run all of this and do that. No, I lay it out. This is what's going to happen, dude. And I'm not telling you because I'm a dictator or because I'm getting something out of it. I tell these people, I don't get anything out of this except I sleep well at night knowing I gave you the right advice.
Mm-hmm. I like
you
it.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But going back to the peptide aspect of it, the evolution's crazy. It really is. It has gone from like zero, I'd say zero to 100, zero to a million. Because once like I remember and I started seeing a couple anti-aging clinics and I'd get these people on the bodybuilding forums and go, oh, I just got a prescription for Ipamorelin. And then I saw somebody say they got one for MK677 and I'm going, what the hell is happening here? You know, and how are they doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, then I start meeting people like you and people that I didn't know existed that, you know, because I've been stuck in one community. And in my community, it's, oh, doctors don't know anything. They're all stupid, you know. Well, yeah, there are some that are. But then there's people like you and people like that I spoke with at the Mr. Olympia that are just like, you guys know way more than we do in your area. And I want to listen and I want to converse and I want to collaborate and give you what I know from the trenches and what you know medically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when we do that together, it's amazing. But you don't see people like from my world going into your world and working together or talking. You just don't see it.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right.
And I get the hesitancy on both ends, really, because a lot of influencers will probably get made to look stupid. And a lot of doctors are worried about their credibility. You know? So I try to do things differently. I'm not, you know, I'm not anything special, but I think I know what I know from experience and that my mindset is different than others. So.
Well, I love the blending of both worlds because I think the biohackers, they're missing out on that deep and experiential, just like you said, anecdotal experiential knowledge that someone like yourself who's been in the trenches and dealing with these bros experimenting on themselves and experimenting on yourself as well. I'm guilty of that too. Of bringing that kind of knowledge into now the modern day biohacking space where, again, like I said in the beginning, you might find a soccer mom that's like, I just want to freaking lose these extra 20 pounds that I put on. Thanks, kids, right? Or the man that realizes his testosterone is declining, his sex life has gone to the shitter, and he's losing that strong body that he once had.
Yeah.
It's all kind of deflating, but he doesn't want that. So I think bringing your knowledge and bringing that world into and meshing it with the biohacking world is a natural evolution that needs to happen.
I agree. And look, you know, a lot of the stuff that I've gained is just through experience and knowledge and me sitting here. And I've told you now several times, I'm up so late. I'm not, you know what I do a lot of nights? Because my wife will just go to bed because she knows I'm just reading, I'm just studying, and I'm just constantly looking. Because one of the things that I despise is this whole thing about, like, it's demonized to ask questions all of a sudden. You know what I mean? Like, our whole world and foundation is based on asking questions. Do you think that Einstein wasn't constantly questioning science and questions? Doesn't science change constantly? Isn't that why we do experiments? Isn't that how we develop medicine? I mean, aren't we questioning what's going on and trying to find newer technologies, newer resolutions? I ask questions all day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I say this all the time. If I go to you and say, Dr. Amy, I just don't understand this. It doesn't seem right to me. Can you break down? And I'm talking to you about something with thyroid, for example. And if you sit there and go, okay, good question, and break it down for me, then I know you're credible. You start doing this political shit where you get all pissed off and trying to defer and don't and answer everything but the question.
Right.
If I ask you a question and every answer is I came from a middle-class family, I can't take you serious. I just can't do it. Okay?
Right.
If you defer, get angry, I'm done. I just can't do it. And God bless you. I'll pray for you. But if you ask me something and I seriously don't know, I'm going to tell you, look, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm going to go to somebody that does and I'll get back to you.
Yep. I do the same thing. Yep. Yeah. Totally respect that. Totally respect that.
Well, it's two things. It's called credibility and accountability. And I will always respect somebody that will admit when they're wrong and be accountable. And I will have no respect for somebody that thinks they're right every time and deflects.
Right.
You can't trust them.
Agree.
And I may, like I said, here's what I always say. A lot of the best teachers have made the most mistakes, but they're willing to admit it. And they're willing to teach people from those mistakes, you know, and that's what I try to operate on, because Lord knows I've made so many mistakes. I don't know where to start, but my difference amongst others is I try to not make the same mistake twice, you know?
I love it. So, I love it.
You know,
okay, I got to bring you back to peptides now. I feel like Rogan trying to keep Trump on track, right? Like,
I got to weave.
you're weaving too much. I got to bring you back. So, okay, peptides. Now, you mentioned some, the growth hormone releasing peptides, and the growth. Well, this is the question for you. There's GHRP, so that's growth hormone releasing peptide. Then what is Ipamorelin and CJC? They're in a different category, even though they all deal with growth hormone, which I guess we should probably explain that. Your growth hormone is what and starts declining after the age of what, and why do we even care about growth hormone peptides?
Everybody's different, and a lot of people will notice if they test IGF levels or growth hormone levels that most people, as they get to like their 30s, early 30s, some people I've even seen it in their later 20s will start to have a decline. Now, how fast? That's just completely different from person to person. It really is. So using synthetic HGH is different than like a GHRP, because that's just helping to release that. So like, for instance, if you go get a stem cell treatment and get them injected into you, that's thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Or there's releasers, right? So you take those to help release and get stem cells going. Well, same thing with like if you're trying to run HGH, it could be a car payment. You know what I mean? Like, for a lot of people, it's expensive. You run a GHRP, you're not taking like straight exogenous growth hormone, but you're having the ability to help release this into your body. Let's just take a look at, I'm just going to pick one, I guess. Let's look at like GHRP6.
Okay.
So, and GHRP6 is kind of like what I put people on when they're struggling with hunger. And I'll talk to you about ghrelin. Okay. So basically GHRP6 works and it mimics the action of ghrelin. Ghrelin's like a hunger hormone, right? So it's a hormone that binds to the ghrelin receptor in your pituitary gland, essentially. And it triggers secretion of growth hormone from the pituitary gland into your bloodstream. They all work a little bit differently, but kind of similarly. With GHRP6, what you'll notice, and what's crazy about GHRP6 is it will increase your hunger, but it can potentially also have some fat loss effects to it, which is crazy. And it can enhance muscle growth. You can see improved recovery. It's one of those, it's tricky because people have to be careful when they're eating too much or overeating. Now, then there's GHRP2. And this also mimics the action of ghrelin, but it doesn't have nearly as much hunger to it. And when I have people that are cutting, I try to push them towards two as opposed to six. It has a lot of the same benefits. One of the things I like about it is it can help with bone density. Bone density, as we know, as we age and as we're lifting heavy, I think people forget that bones do become more brittle, and, you know, tendons and ligaments, especially if you're growing too much, can be an issue. So things that can help with that are pretty, pretty solid. I love how peptides help with recovery personally, some more so than others, but I feel like a lot of people will stack GHRP 6 and 2 together for that muscle growth and fat loss. You just have to be careful. Anything that is stimulating ghrelin, you can kind of tend to eat too much. Now, a lot of that will subside over time, but, you know, it's something you want to be careful with. But another thing I love about some of these GHRPs is the anti-aging aspect of it, right? Because they offer that benefit. And I'm not talking like you're going to wake up and be 20 years younger, but you can see it in your skin. Like, you really can. And if it's hard when you're looking at yourself in the mirror every day, but let's just say you start GHRP2. Take a picture when you start and then take a picture 4 weeks later and put them side by side and tell me you don't see a difference.
Really? 4 weeks later, you might see a difference.
Yeah, not drastic, but you'll start to see it gradually, and then do it at 8 weeks. and then do it depending on how long you want to run it. That's arguable, you know, but you'll start to see differences and you'll notice some benefits in your hair, skin, and nails. Now, I will say HGH is going to provide the most anti-aging benefit of any of those. And then I would argue MK677. And while we're on the growth hormone topic, nothing is going to beat growth hormone, just so everybody knows that. All right.
Okay.
In terms of trying to increase your growth hormone production, but the closest thing to HGH is MK677. If you were to rank them, I always tell people, look, if you can't afford HGH, if you're fearful of, like, you know, how HGH could potentially, if you misuse it, could increase organ size. You could have a big ass jaw or something that, you know, like.
Well, and even insulin resistance. And I was going to ask you about the downsides of each, which I want you to speak on. Mm-hmm. But my understanding, too, is that straight human growth hormone, if you can obtain it, if you can afford it, if it's even real, will potentially increase any cancer cells that might be in your body, but let's say they're dormant and you start using HGH and it could kick up cancer cells. Now, when I used HGH back in my 20s for competing, I really didn't care about, you know, cancer. That I'm like, I'm invincible. I'm in my 20s. Right. But now it's a thought. I mean, at the age of 50, you start thinking like, oh my God, you know, is this something that I need to worry about? I'm kind of on the anti-cancer prevention train. So if I had HGH versus a GHRP2 or Ipamorelin CJC, which one would you choose for, let's say, a 50-year-old?
Okay, so I'm just going to tell you just how I operate. I am always more on the conservative side, and I always look for what do I feel like is going to give the most result with the least amount of concern and worry. And mind you, I am very thorough. Like, I'll get people that always want to go, well, what's the best to use? What's the best to use? I can't answer that without knowing your background and your history. I'm always going to go more on the conservative side and put people on a peptide before I am with HGH, unless there's a severe deficiency that's just normally not there, or like a severe injury that we're struggling to recover from. I'm like 95% of the time going to lean towards the peptides. And that's just because I know that the risk of problem is far less, and we can still achieve the results that we want to achieve. Maybe not as fast, but I'm a risk versus reward guy. And I believe in peptides so much more. And while HGH can be pretty drastic, as most people know, there is far more risk involved and it costs a heck of a lot more. And, you know, a lot of people try to get underground HGH, and you can get anything underground and run the risk of having an issue, but there's so much bad underground HGH that you have to be aware of. Now, if you're getting it from a doctor, that's a totally different story.
Right.
But let's keep it real here. And a lot of people that are listening may not understand this. A lot of people are going to try to go the generic route so they can get it cheaper, which you're certainly not going to get like a generic from a doctor. Like, I'm talking Chinese generic.
Yeah.
It's very, very risky. I don't like it. I really don't. There's underground peptides that are shitty too, but there's far less risk of something going wrong. You're just going to lose your money with a shitty peptide generally, you know, and I'm very cautious. I will touch on, because you asked me about Ipamorelin. So that's like a selective growth hormone secretagogue.
Okay.
And it's a ghrelin mimetic as well. You'll notice that ghrelin keeps coming up in a lot of these, but it stimulates growth hormone release. That's the main thing that it does, but it doesn't impact your other hormones, which is huge. That's like when we talk about steroids and things, that's part of the problem that we're having, is all of the other nasty effects. We're not getting those. All right. Okay. So Ipamorelin is going to bind to the ghrelin receptor in your pituitary, which you'll continuously hear me talk about. I love Ipamorelin for the stimulating the growth hormone release. And then it aids in muscle growth, fat loss, recovery. I see a lot more body fat reduction with Ipamorelin and CJC 1295 stack than I do with your GHRPs. And if we're talking bodybuilders, especially, I always kind of go towards that Ipamorelin CJC combo. And now you can buy them. They're in a blend together. You don't have to keep injecting them separately. You can buy them blended. Mm-hmm. I mean, shit, there's all kinds of things coming out now that were never options. There's gels, there's capsules for some of these that are actually working, like BPC, but there's a lot of There's a lot of creative compounding pharmacies out there that have, cracked the code on certain things, truly.
Okay, that's very cool. So for let's bring it to the audience. So for your 40, 50, 60-year-old woman that, yeah, she's addressing thyroid, she's addressing hormones, but damn, she's still, she's doing the testosterone, but she's just not seeing that muscle growth. And this is literally what I hear from my community. Like, I'm still not seeing that muscle growth. And she's not talking about becoming a bodybuilder. She just wants to see that shape, just that little bit of shapeliness and a little bit more strength in the gym, better workouts, less body fat. Obviously, yeah, an improvement in skin. What would you recommend for that in that growth hormone category?
Well, there's a couple options, and once again, I'm a mama's boy, so I'm particularly careful with women. Like I always say, my women, like my mom, my wife, my cat, and my daughter. Like I'm very, very protective, so I may be a little too protective with women. So I'm sorry right off the bat, but that's just how I
No, we
operate.
like that. We're good with that.
Yes, so Ipamorelin has shown to be very, very, very tolerated, well, safer, and that's one that I've never had any issue putting women on. Now, a hexorelin is one that doesn't get as much talk. That's a growth hormone releasing hormone. So that's a GHRH. So we're talking about a hormone here, which is different. I don't necessarily put women on those. I don't like messing with women's hormones as much. So I'm more towards the GHRP side of things. Now, a man in that age, I'm looking at hexorelin, semorelin, those options. But we're talking different categories here. I'm very comfortable with Ipamorelin, CJC 1295. Tesamorelin is another one that has gotten a lot more popular recently that wasn't really around before. That's a good one to consider. CJC 1295 is interesting. I've always been a fan of it. I've personally responded extremely well to it. I don't have an issue with women running that, but once again, with women at the age bracket you're talking about, I'd rather just have them take one thing. There's not a reason. You're not bodybuilding. There's not a reason to start throwing 50 things at yourself. I don't believe whatsoever. And so I have a lot of comfort with Ipamorelin at that age, truly.
Okay, beautiful. All right, so moving on from the growth hormone peptides, where else would you go in the peptide space?
So it really depends. You want to hear, I'll give you a story. One of my worst experiences with peptides, but one that went that I would find many people would want to use, and that's melanotan 2. Now, I don't know if people are familiar with it or not, and I'll keep it very simple because I can get scientific with melanotan 2. Essentially, it's like going to the tanning bed without going to the tanning bed. All right. It's going to increase melanin production in your body, and it provides a protective layer for you against UV radiation. So it can actually reduce your risk of skin damage and skin cancer from sun exposure. So it's pretty sweet, I mean, in simple terms. So it induces skin tanning. So like, here's my story. I was living in Maui, and it was right when I learned about peptides, and I was like, and oh boy. So I would highly recommend, if you're going to use melanotan 2, that you ease into it. And I will tell you why, for two reasons. One, it can cause nausea like right after you take it. And so I always took it at night because I was hoping to prevent that. But I also like to have like a protein before I go to bed, or like small amounts of oatmeal for sleep. And so I would eat, and then right before I went to bed, I'd take the little injection. And I'm telling you, the first week I threw up every single time. My body didn't like it, and even at lower doses. And then the libido got out of control for me personally. But the worst part of it all, when you take melanotan 2, you're supposed to get yourself out in the sun for a little bit and help to tan. Well, I was in that phase where I'm in Maui, I'm just going to go to the beach every day after work. It was a really bad idea because I would lay out like 30 minutes for like a week straight, and I got so dark that it was embarrassing.
Oh
And
my
I mean
gosh.
embarrassing. I went into the grocery store one day, and I knew everybody in there because, local Maui, you just kind of know everybody. I went in there, and somebody made the one of the cashiers made a comment to me like, "What happened to you?" And I didn't realize it. I didn't want to leave the house for like a week, seriously. you have to be careful because it's so strong and it can really darken you up, like major. It's very popular because, you know, like I said, it can provide some skin protection, which is sweet because, I mean, UV radiation is a problem for people. It's dangerous. And so it's nice, but it's okay. Just be very, very, very careful with it. I mean, there's certain peptides that are out there that are just like for libido, PT141, for example. Like that's used for sexual dysfunction. It's going to increase sexual desire. It's very, very strong. And I would almost prefer people use that over Cialis or Viagra. And then we can get into that, you know, a different because it's a totally different concept, but it's a different mechanism. And I feel like it's safer, you know. So that's another thing that's out there. There's so many different options depending on what you want. I mean, right now, I will tell you this because I am very friendly with a lot of people that own research chemical sites. And so I have watched and I study what's selling the most. So I know what I'm going to have the most questions for. I do some affiliate work. I know what to push. You know what I mean? And right now, it's not even close in terms of what the most popular is. And I mean, not even close. And that's BPC 157.
I mean, that's just great for everything. I use that after any surgery I've ever had, and the healing time is dramatically reduced. I mean, you heal so quickly. Oh, I have a story on that, I'll tell you.
Yeah, please.
So this is last year. I went to a conference, and I'm at the conference, and I don't even know how much I believe in like energetics. I do. I'm halfway into the woo and halfway out of the woo. And this woman's like, you know, I'm going to run this energetic program on you and really help your back because my back was tight from traveling. Well, it did the opposite. My back locked down like shit. I was better off before she even did anything, right? So I got the negative energetics from her. My back was killing me. Dylan, I don't even know to this day what made me pack BPC 157. I don't take my peptides with me, so I don't even know why. But I went back to the room. I'm like, oh my God, I have BPC. I loaded the entire syringe because, as you can attest to, some peptides you can't really overdo it. Even if you take the whole damn thing, nothing's gonna happen to you. Or maybe you
Not
get like a little
likely.
bit nauseous or whatever, depending on the peptide. I
Right.
loaded the syringe. I reached around in the mirror, jammed that into my back. I know I could have done it in my stomach too, but I'm like, I want this to get as close to the problem as possible. And I kid you not, in a few hours, my pain was gone and I was back to normal. So I'm a firm believer in BPC 157.
You know what I'm going to do for you and your audience? I'm going to give you my healing stack. Like I'm talking, if you want to just rock with the best healing stack possible, it's a combination of SARMs and peptides.
Oh, okay.
That,
Well, you have
yeah.
to get into
So,
what SARMs are too.
yeah,
So,
we'll get into that for sure. And you know what though? I will say this, MK677 is not a SARM, it's a secretagogue, but it gets grouped in with SARM. So a lot of times things are sold and marketed as SARMs, which we'll get into later, but that I'm going to list that in the SARM category, even though it's kind of listed in a peptide category now. So the obvious number one is BPC 157, correct? That's like your backbone. So like if you're running a steroid cycle, testosterone's your backbone. Well, my healing protocol, BPC, is your number one. That's your backbone. Number two is TB500. Anybody that uses BPC 157 tends to also stack with TB500. They, a lot of times now, they're all grouped together, whether it's in capsule form, whether it's in your vial, and now even gels. And I'm a big fan of the gel myself. I get sick of pinning with all the TRT and I don't use steroids anymore, but I just get sick of pinning, you know? And so to have a gel is nice. So we got those two, BPC 157, TB500, MK677, which I told you is very similar to HGH. That's a lot. Now you got to understand with that, that's a longer term healer. So that takes a while. That's like your, let's keep the healing going once we stop everything else, because you can't just run everything forever that I'm listing. You have to come off. So we've got your three there. Here's my favorite. This is my key. MK2866, also known as Osterin. That is your short term healer And what I love about Osterin is you're not healing is just a fraction of what you get from it. It was one of the first SARMs that was ever sold, and it provides you fat loss, it provides you strength, it provides you lean muscle. Now there's some side effects you got to be careful with it. It's slightly suppressive to your testosterone, which for a female, not really worry about it. But for a man, if you're going to do this particular protocol, you're going to need some sort of mini post-cycle therapy. It doesn't have to be a full post-cycle therapy, but when you start suppressing your natural testosterone production, you got to be aware of that. And
Well, if
then
you're
last,
already on testosterone, though, does it matter?
no,
You might just
no,
might bump your dose a little bit.
no, you don't even need to do that.
Okay.
When you're on TRT, you're not going to see suppression or the blast steroids or what. Because you're consistently getting your testosterone injected. So you no concern if you're on TRT.
Okay.
Lastly, it's another SARM. It's a newer SARM. It's called ACP-105. That actually has been found. I don't know the mechanism of action, so I'm not going to front, but it's been found to have healing properties as well. Many, many people report it. I can't prove it on paper, but I've seen it enough that I can back it up and recommend it. So that is your total protocol with the ACP and the MK-2866 and the BPC and the TB500. I keep people at 12 weeks.
Oh, 12 weeks. Okay.
MK-677, we go at least 6 months if you want to get the full benefits. Now, when you're running HGH or MK-677, I will tell people don't be too low carb. Some people will go too low carb on those, or if you have any diabetic concern or anything like that, stay away from these. You don't. There's other methods to heal. Just go BPC 157. But
Now, why is that? Will it drop your blood sugar or will it
it
raise
could
your blood
people
sugar?
it people will tend to get like hypoglycemia with it and things like that. And it's something. It's not worth the risk, I guess. I would say this. If you have any concerns of any kind, the safest one of all these is BPC.
Yeah.
And it's body protective compound. I mean, it says it all in the name. You
Yeah,
know what
it
I
does.
mean? And just remember with BPC 157, you want to inject as close to your injury as you can. So, like, that's another reason why I don't like to inject, because I have a really bad tennis elbow. And of course, it's an insulin needle, and I've got tattoos there. So I've been through the ringer, but you just
Right.
don't want to inject in your elbow. It just doesn't sound
You just
fun.
don't. No.
No, you just don't. And I like to avoid that. But that's when people come to me, that's the stack they get, that I lay out and go do it. Now, you're not going to get, just understand, you're not going to get SARMs prescribed to you. So you could get MK-677 prescribed, but the other two, you're not going to get a prescription for those. You got to go underground. So
Yeah.
keep that in mind. I'm not advocating going underground. I'm just saying
It's just the reality. Well, that here's
yeah.
the thing. Okay, on that note, the reality is that in the country that we live in, and for now, the FDA has a pretty strong lockdown on things. Now,
Yes,
with the
yes.
new administration and with RFK already posting that we need to bring back peptides and bring back all these healing modalities that, yeah, big pharma might lose some money on, but they're very helpful for people. We might see a change. I'm really hopeful and I believe that we will. But the reality is, in this day and age, sometimes to get things that actually work, you do have to go underground. Just the same as if I get cancer, I'm going to Mexico, South America, or Europe because I'm not going to get a cure here, even though we know that there are cures for cancer out there, right?
Right.
So I know, big bold statement. Don't shut me down, Google, but for God's sake, freedom of speech is coming back too. So don't shut me down. But no, I mean, the reality is sometimes you do have to go underground. And I think educating people as to where they can go and trust where they're going. Just like I tell my audience, listen, I get my peptides from research only websites because it's easy, they're cheaper, and there are a few that I actually do trust. So
Yep.
why would I pay three times the amount to have them prescribed from a compounding pharmacy when I know I can get them over here
Yeah.
and save some money?
I can and I can always give a recommendation, because I can guarantee you if anybody knows where to get them and where to not go. I'm okay, I'm very careful in terms of saying negative things about other places. If you ask me, I'll be honest, I'm just not going to throw it out there. My absolute. I have a golden goose, and then I have another one that's like very close, but not quite there.
Okay.
It's called Umbrella Labs, and I actually went down to their company, and that's in Arizona. And I'll tell you this, I have never been so impressed. Like, I'm talking about a facility, hundreds of thousands of dollars of equipment, and like a real company. Because a lot of these places, Lord knows how they're making their shit. You know what I mean? Like, some of them just make it in their house. Like, you don't know
A
when you're talking
bathtub, yeah.
about, well, yeah. And they were like compounding things. They created gels and things that you haven't seen. They've come out with a semaglutide tablet that they just came out with. Like, it's pretty innovative. The owner's like a straight shooter, you know, because a lot of these guys are shady as fuck. Like,
Yeah.
then there's another one, it's newer, and it's called RCS. It's Research Chemical Sciences. It's a newer one, but I like it because it's very scientific. Once again, I met this owner, straight shooter, like, but this guy's more of like an intellect with it. Like, a lot of these guys, they're just trying to make money. They don't live that life. This guy was
Right.
like Mr. Science. You know, I
Yeah.
don't think they do nearly as much business. I don't think they're as big of a company, but they're solid. So those are my two go-tos.
And I
I
just
don't
want to
have.
say real quick that the listeners just got a diamond given to them right now. Because number one, I didn't even know about those two. So I'm gonna text you afterwards and write those down. And number two, yeah, the fact that you are comfortable saying where you trust for research peptides is it you just gave the listeners literally a diamond ring. Like, thank you. Thank you for
Well,
that.
it honestly, it's like my obligation because I know so much about this. If I don't help people where to get things, then what does that say about me? Like, I don't want to bash other companies. Just let me tell you this, if you're looking up things, and I want people to understand how this actually works. And these places hate my fucking guts. And that's probably why when my old YouTube channel got shut down, I told you about, this is part of the reason why. But now I just don't give a fuck. So here's the whole process of how this works. If you go type in the term SARMs for sale or peptides for sale, what you're going to find is all of these sites coming up that are review sites. And they do a hell of a job making these websites. And it looks like for Christmas, and this is another trick for people that are looking at stuff for Christmas or looking for reviews on shit, how fake this is. They make these sites, they look so professional, and you'll notice it's always the same ones over and over and over again that are being recommended. And then you'll find one website that's not a big website, that's not Tom's Guides or all this bullshit. And then it'll be a totally different layout of stuff you've never heard of. And I'm going, what the fuck? Well, now that I realize what they do, so here's what they do. The companies with the biggest amounts of bankroll, they go in and they go to all these different publications, because you'll see this stuff like in Men's Health and like, you know, for SARMs. And you're like, how the hell are they getting these articles in Men's Health? Well, I own a press release company, so I know how this works. We have the abilities to get articles in there. And then when you scroll to the very, very bottom, it'll say, not associated with Men's Health. This is the article written by so and so. And the shit is this small. And you'd never, you, but you, first of all, you're never going to scroll down all that way and read that shit. You can literally put content out there if you got the paper on all of these sites. And then you'll see these websites that advertise and it'll say on Fox News, on this, on that. The fuck you were. No, you weren't. You were not. Let's see the actual video of when you did it, because you can't show it because you're a fucking liar, because you have such a high bankroll and you know how to do SEO, which is how you rank on Google. So they take over all the terms. So you'll see these three or four SARMs or peptides companies that have taken over, and you'll read these reviews and go, well, holy shit, you know, da da da
This
da.
is great. I gotta go
This is
there.
great.
Here's my
And
money. Yeah.
yes. And the same thing on Reddit. You go to Reddit. Here's the deal with Reddit. You get on those forums, and Reddit has sub forums. And what they do is they're bought and paid for by these companies, and they will delete all of your shit. If you call them out, they will delete it. They will badmouth everything of every other company. It's all fucking fake. So it's very difficult, and that's why they hate people like me, because I know all of their tricks and I don't let people fall for it. Don't just Google like SARMs for sale or peptides for sale and trust the reviews that you're getting. If you don't have somebody that is actually recommending them that you can trust that has any sort of like credibility, just be very careful what you read, especially when you see the same damn companies being reviewed time and time again. Because here's what they do. People create these websites. They will call the owners, and I know this because I've been a part of it, and they'll say, "Hey, we're making this new website and this review site. You we'll put you on here as one of our things. We're going to get it ranked, and this is what we want you to pay us. And if you don't pay it, they're going to go right to the next one and do it."
Yep. Pay to play.
So, and
Absolutely.
don't trust review sites because they're phony, and always scroll to the bottom and see what it says.
Well, that applies to supplements too. I mean, this
Yes.
is like pretty much across the board. And that applies to influencers. To your point, when you go on someone's site and it's like Fox, NBC, the Today Show, like all they are little logos. I don't see
Yeah.
any videos of you on the Today Show
No.
ever, like anywhere. So yeah, to your point, it's pretty much across the board scamming.
When you see those logos, so if it was me and I had a website up and it was like featured on whatever, right underneath that you would see a YouTube clip embedded or a link to the website embedded that shows me talking on there. You know, when it says as seen on Shark Tank, you can go look it up and see if it was on Shark Tank. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah.
But anybody can make their supplement, their product look like it was as seen on or as advertised on. Go look it up and make sure first. And when you can't find it, you got your answer.
Exactly. I love it. That's a great tip too. That's another gem. You just gave him like an emerald. So there you go.
I'm fucking K Jewelers today.
You are, and we all appreciate it.
I'm happy to do it, truly. I really am. One of the things that I will tell the audience and you is that I have really figured out what I'm supposed to do with my life, and I am on a mission to make sure that people get the truths that I am calling out and using my platform with people like you and anybody that wants to come along with me, that this is the one chance that we have now to fight back and to not accept all the shit that's going on. And I promise you, I'm very deep in faith, and I won't get into that because I know some people don't like that. But what I will tell you is this, is that I finally figured it out and I listened and I know, and now it's like pouring out of me. Some of the shit that I'm saying now, I don't even know where it's coming from. I have no plan on saying this, but that's like Holy Spirit working within me. And so I guarantee you will continuously see me doing things like this until they hate me so much. But now we got protection.
Yeah,
You know what I mean?
we
That
do.
we did not have before. So you want to take away speech and everything, you can try, but there's too many of us now. There's too many.
Yeah, no,
So,
the American people have spoken. We like freedom of speech. We like that part of the
yeah.
Constitution. We want to keep it.
Yeah, it would be preferable to go back to when shit was fucking normal, but
Right.
that's a different conversation.
That's a different conversation. So, okay, you mentioned the word SARMs.
Yeah.
So, can you get into what that is and, yeah, just kind of roll from there?
So SARMs is just selective androgen receptor modulators. You know what's crazy about SARMs is when you go dig into every SARM, you'll find that they're basically all developed to prevent osteoporosis and to prevent muscle wastage. So like cancer patients, AIDS patients, they would give them, SARMs were created kind of for them so that they could help with muscle wastage. 'Cause when you get some of those diseases, you just eating your muscle away. The thing that's different about, because I do all of these things, you'll see all of my SARMs versus steroids comparisons, and oh, my fights with the bros over this is just endless, right? But one of the things is, steroids will have a direct effect on your prostate. Well, the thing about SARMs is you're not running into that. It's you're not having these problems. It's binding to the androgen receptor, but you're not getting the and it's stimulating it. But it has effects on bone and muscle, which I said will increase your bone density and lean body mass. But it's going to have like minute effects on reproductive issues that you're seeing with steroid use. So, one of the things that I love about them is they have this ability to kind of mimic certain steroids and what you're getting. Not to the same extent, but here's one of the things that I stress. When you tell me, or if I ask you what your results were, I don't care what your results were while you were using them. I care about what your results are after you come off of them. And the determining factors there are, what does your blood work look like, and how much did you keep? I can go throw somebody on D-ball, and anybody that doesn't know what that is, it's a steroid that is known for increasing bulk in a major way. I can go put somebody on D-ball, and they could literally gain 15 to 20 pounds on cycle. But here's the problem. A lot of that's water weight because of the estrogen conversion. And the keepability aspect of that is very, very low, because when you use a steroid as a man, you're shutting down your natural testosterone production. And so when you do that after you recover, a lot of the gains that you make, you lose, and you actually are setting yourself up for failure later with testosterone production, meaning that you're probably going to require TRT. And in the meanwhile, you're just taken away from what you could do. But SARMs, and I get into certain SARMs and the different benefits, but when you take a SARM, you're not going to gain 15 or 20 pounds with it right away at all. But you could gain 5, 6, 7 pounds, cut the side effects down to a bare minimum, recover better, and by the time it's all said and done, way better blood panel, much more keepability on your gains. Now, part of the problem with SARMs now is a lot of the ones they're creating are basically just steroids that literally they could shut you down just as much. They're just as strong. But I'm talking like the early school ones, that were very few when I first started. Like another one, GW501516, it's not technically a SARM, but it's grouped with SARMs. It actually lowers cholesterol, it lowers blood pressure, it helps fix metabolic problems, and it's banned by, WADA, WADA, because it has such a drastic increase on endurance. So it's very unfair, because it's increasing your VO2 max to, I mean, I've seen people shave so much time off their mile time taking this. I did it myself, and it's insane. I've seen people, when you shave, and anybody that is a distance runner, if you shave like 15 seconds off a mile, that's massive, right? I mean, that's a big deal. I'm seeing people doing like triple that off their mile times with this shit.
Now, is
It's
this what Lance
insane.
Armstrong used, or is that a totally different
He
something
was doing
something?
like an EPO, but there's a big belief that he was using it too. And most endurance athletes that get busted for something, that's their go-to. It's
Usually a
GW,
SARM. Okay.
yeah, GW501516. It's called Carterine or SR9009. It's,
Carterine. Yes, I
yeah.
think I did try that in the past because
I'm
I
sure.
heard that it was for improving your insulin resistance and weight as well, correct?
Yes, 100%. It was honestly, it was created to treat cholesterol and obesity, is why it was even created. Now, SR9009 is similar. I prefer, so SR9009 is geared more towards fixing metabolism with secondarily increasing endurance, while Carterine is more primarily endurance and secondarily with metabolism. So it's really, you're getting them both. It's, if you have a really bad metabolic issue, I would gear towards the SR9009. You have to be careful with SR9009 because it can throw off your circadian rhythm, and it needs dosed more frequently. So it's a little bit more of a like annoyance, I guess, than anything. People don't like to follow the rules on things with rule of thumb with dosing protocols. If you SR9009's half-life is very, 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 very short. And if you really want to get the full effect of it, it's like a every 2 to 3 hour dose. I tell
Oh, the
people,
pain.
like, yeah, it's a pain in the ass. If you really want to just do 3 doses a day, fine. You're still going to get results, but you're not getting the max.
And this is a liquid that you take in your mouth under the tongue, correct? I mean, that's the only way that I've ever used a SARM, or is it an injectable?
You never want to do an injectable SARM ever. Like they don't really sell those anymore. That's not what they were intended to do, and they're very problematic. SARMs, yes, liquid is great. I like liquid because you can manipulate the dosing quite well. But now there's you can you capsules. I prefer capsules now more than anything. But like Umbrella Labs has a proprietary. This is why I love them so much. They're the only place that created a gel where you can take a gel and eat it. And I mean, look. Capsules are easy. No, liquids are tricky because liquids can, if you put them in extreme temperatures, for instance, if they freeze, you got an issue. If they get too hot, you got an issue. And they're a kind of a pain in the ass to carry. And they're liquids are really, really taste shitty
They do.
because,
It's pretty
yeah,
bad.
well, they're suspended in either glycol, which is like motor oil, or they're suspended in grain alcohol, which is Everclear. And I mean, it's a minute amount, but if you take that shit, you feel it, you know it, right? This is another reason why I like Umbrella Labs. They have a proprietary thing that they do. It's called a polycell. You can't taste it. You can't taste it. Now you have to shake it all the time before you use it, but who cares? You literally cannot taste it. I don't know what it is, all that they put in it, because it's their own formula, and it's none of my, I don't get into all that. But whatever they figured out and did, that was one of the main reasons I started with them, is because they had the tasteless. I like liquid because of the, like I said, you can manipulate the dose. If you get a capsule, you got a capsule, you're taking it just 15 milligrams. If you got a gel and it says 15 milligrams, you could break it up and guess and whatever. But if you got a liquid, you can manipulate that dose, right? So if it's 20 milligrams in a milliliter, you know the full dropper's 20 milligrams. Take the half a milliliter, you got 10, you know? Because women have different dosing on SARMs than men do, and you need to be able to manipulate the dose as a woman. So, but
Okay, so
I'll tell you.
women can use a SARM. So even though it says selective androgen, which when you say the word androgen, we think men, we think male testosterone. Now, listen, I'll caveat this with, I always talk about the importance of testosterone for women. It's our get
Yes.
shit done hormone. Like men and women need testosterone. But when you say selective androgen, I think, oh, are SARMs just for guys?
No, there are some that I'm not comfortable with women running when you get a little bit harder into it. There's a few that you definitely don't want to use as a woman that I've seen women accidentally use that gave them some virilization. And anybody that doesn't know what that means, it's like deepening of the voice, male attributes will come out. I've seen some like really bad acne breakouts with the harder ones, but there's certainly some that women can run. My favorite, here's the good and the bad to my favorite one for women. Remember when I brought up Osterin in my healing stack? So women really do well on Osterin, but there's a twofold problem there. It can increase the clitoris size and it can throw off your menstrual cycle. Not for everybody, but man, women respond so well, like to just the lean muscle and the healing and everything. S4 is another one that I'm perfectly fine with women taking, no problem. But we start getting heavier and heavier. And like I told you, I'm very protective. Some women are just hard fucking core and they just want to do it. And I'm like, go for it, but I'm not recommending it, you know? Just not. So, but I'm going to weave a second because you brought up the testosterone for women. And what I want to say is this. We have this trouble with men and with women because we know that women's, you know, estrogen dominant, men is testosterone dominant. But everybody listening, you have to understand something. I need estrogen, and like Dr. Amy needs testosterone. Now, obviously, to what extent, it's far, far lower in terms of our opposite hormones and what we need. But for men, if I crush my estrogen, I am in a world of hurt, depression, inability to gain muscle. And you're going to carry around more fat, brain fog. Same thing goes with women. You have to. I just had this conversation with my mom and my wife because they have an expert in the house. They don't fucking listen. Is this.
Never do.
No, we have to check your testosterone levels. We need full hormonal panels, full hormonal panels, because there's other things that you got to look at, right? Like for men, you got to look at SHBG because that can bind up your free testosterone. And if you have low testosterone, you may not need TRT. You may have other areas you need to correct. Same with women. You have to look at all of the blood panels and not make assumptions because you might not need certain therapies or treatments, right? So I just want to stress that, and I had to weave off SARMs for a minute because I felt that was important.
No, that's okay. I'm gonna jump on that wagon real quick though. Where do you like to see a man's, let's say, estradiol
Yes, there we go.
number?
Good question. Okay. So this is, and once again, this is subjective to the person, but I really don't like it lower than 30.
Okay, that's where I'm at.
I feel like when you start getting lower than 30, that's when you start to potentially have some problems. Now, I also don't like it like in the 60 range. Now, estrogen is good, and some people are very comfortable in their 50s with it. And I also am very comfortable with that. I just don't want it to get to the point where you're increasing blood, like blood pressure, getting too much water retention, or possibly developing gynecomastia, which you shouldn't at 60.
Right.
And if you're not running estrogen converting compound, you shouldn't. But if you start to get like itchy nipples, or like you feel like there's some like fat there or something, just, let's taper off. If you're taking something or maybe eating something that's contributing to that, maybe smoking way too much pot, something like that. Just remember that those can contribute. Some people will argue that eating too much soy can do that. That's keep that in mind. If you are eating too much soy and you start to have an estrogen increase, my biggest problem with anything is where they have testosterone levels, on their charts. And where they, well, first of all, you know this better than I would, that you go to different labs, they're going to have different reference ranges, right?
Oh, yeah, seriously. Yeah, you
I
can't even
mean,
go by the reference ranges at
what the
all.
fuck?
Yeah. Now, for
And
women, I mean, they don't even, I tell my ladies where I want you to start for optimization isn't even in the reference range. You'll get flagged high at the bare bone minimal number where you should be. So I like my women 50 or above when it comes to total testosterone. Most labs go up to a 48.
I wanted to ask you where you want. I was going to turn it around on you and ask you a question where you liked your women. So you like them at 50 at minimum, right?
50 or above. And then you'll always have those women that are like, don't you dare drop my testosterone lower than 150. That's where I like it. I'm like, okay, that's fine. As long as you're not growing a beard or a Latinas, we're good. But I thank Karen Martell for that term. It's just a beautiful representation of what happens. So, but for men, now I'm going to flip this on you. For men, I always say I wouldn't even let my 76-year-old dad be below an 800 for his testosterone. Where do you like to see dudes?
Well, depending on the age, obviously, but I always say at the minimum, I like you at the low 700s, higher 600s at the bare minimum. Now I'm with you. I prefer that 800 range, but I also don't like it too high. Some people will argue with me on that, and that's fine. What I feel is that if you get too high and you're walking around too high for too long, that it will actually shave years off your life. I'm talking like if you feel like you need to walk around like 1500 every day, that's too high. It's not necessary. If you're at 800, like you said, oh, you should be feeling great as long as your other health markers are in line. But testosterone wise, I love it in that range.
Now, what's the effect on the prostate? Can you get more into that? Because you mentioned that earlier.
You know what? It's if you have a family history of prostate, for example, you just want to be very careful with your total testosterone numbers, your testosterone. Your dose of it, because what I've found is most people tolerate and handle testosterone very well when it comes to effects on prostate, but there's always outliers. You know what I mean? I just am very, very careful at anybody that has a family history on certain things, and prostate is one, because it seems that testosterone will definitely, like if you go get a PSA done, if you take synthetic testosterone, that it will have a negative effect. But that's then this leads me to this. If you are doing TRT or testosterone, make sure that you're having a doctor monitor you for all of these things, because you just don't know. A lot of people think they know, oh, well, my testosterone numbers are X, Y, and Z, but they don't really know the effect they're having on other things. You could literally. I'm like I said, I don't see this often, but you could really fuel the growth of prostate cancer with testosterone use if you're not careful, if you have a family history. If you higher levels of testosterone, and that's why I'm careful with when I tell people too high, it can increase your risk of prostate cancer, and it can make it more like, let's just say you have early onset prostate cancer, for example. Testosterone could really make it more aggressive. You know what I mean? Like it could really enhance its ability to grow on you and get it out of control. That's why it's so important that you're always monitoring everything, and that you're all over everything, and that you don't take chances on anything at all. That's what people hire me to do a lot of times anymore. is they just want me to optimize their hormones and read their blood panels. And that's like, I can't tell you how many people come to me just for that in their 40s and 50s, especially right now.
Oh yeah. So. Yeah. No, I see it. I totally see it. So with, since we're on the testosterone bandwagon, yes, important for women. For men, we know that there are different esters of testosterone.
Yeah.
Cypionate is the one that we normally use for women. And then there's propionate, enanthate. I'm sure there's more. Those are the top three that I know. How do you choose what to use in terms of the ester of the testosterone?
Yeah. So I am very, very, very kind of like one-tracked mind on this, right? So there's what I've seen with a lot of doctors is, so testosterone undecanate, for example, is like a super long ester, right? Like they'll have people come in and take that and take it once a month.
Oh, wow.
It's so bad. It's so bad. I literally just stick with testosterone cypionate. Sustanon was like really developed for TRT, and that's a blend of four different esters, and it's like 60% long, 40% short. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of blends, and I feel like there's too much yo-yo there. I always stick with cypionate because the half-life falls like right at that week.
Yeah.
But people like that because they think they should only dose it once a week, which I get. I understand based on the half-life, but you have these peaks and troughs, right? And by the time the end of the week comes, what I find is most people, like, they get on this high and then they start to wonder why they don't feel so good at the end of the week. I love cypionate because it's perfect for twice a week dosing. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And I have people that will argue with me and I'm like, dude, do whatever makes you feel good. Do whatever makes you feel good. But I can prove to you that with what I've experienced, by far and away, twice a week dosing is the best. And I have spoken on panels with some of the people that all they do is do TRT and specialize in TRT. Uh-huh. And I'm telling you, they all are proponents of it. All of them. I never have an argument with them.
Or intramuscular?
Intramuscular.
Okay.
You you can, you know, you certainly can do. Because
my ladies like to use the little insulin needle. And personally, I don't know. Like when it comes, I will experiment on myself with anything.
No.
But man, when it comes to jamming a big ass needle into my thigh, I can't even do a B12 shot that way. I just get the heebie-jeebies. So is there a problem with, and I'll tell you what I've always heard, and this is why I dose myself and my patients this way, that for women, if we do test cypionate subcutaneous into fat, it kind of like holds in the fat and it gets more slowly released into the system through that week.
Mm-hmm. That's
true. Am I onto something there? Am I totally?
No, you are. And when you asked me that question, I took it as, what would my preference be? What's going to be the most? How are you going to get the most out of it? Look, sub Q can be done. People do it. It's just, if we're ranking the systems, intramuscular is always going to be the best. Now, here's a trick for everybody that a lot of people, when they inject, they have three sites that they think of first off the bat. Glutes, well, those go injected in my ass.
Right.
Into your delts and then into your quads.
Yeah.
Now, the quad would, on site, you would look at a quad and go, holy shit, look how big the muscle is there. That's the best because I got so many sites. When in reality, I would argue the quad is one of the worst because your room for error is so minute. And you make just the smallest little. So just think of it like this. You got this big ass area, right? And then there's like those landmines on there where if you take the wrong step, it's just going to explode. And I swear to you, the quad is the most problematic spot in terms of making a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And the delts, here's a story for you that was so embarrassing that I did. I consistently injected in my delt line. I'm talking heavy. This is when I was actually cycling steroids, heavy amounts of oil. Well, guess what happened? Because I kept doing it in the same spot. I developed a lipoma and it was like this. I had to have it surgically removed because I wasn't rotating sites and I was doing too much oil.
Yeah.
Let me tell you the trick. If you're doing intramuscular injections, it's called ventrogluteal. And that is by far the easiest, the best, and the most painless. So just picture, I'm not going to stand up and show you, just picture like the side of your ass kind of to the side. That's a ventrogluteal, so it's not directly into your gluteal. It's in the side. It's so nice and thick there, and there's so much more room for error there, and it's so easy and it's so nice. And I just when I do TRT, I just rotate each. I do the left one or the right one, and it's easy. Now I will tell you this: if you're doing intramuscular, the small or the I wouldn't go anything under a 25 gauge 1 inch, because if you start going lower than that, like with a 23, it's like a fucking harpoon and it's gonna hurt. It's
It
gonna
is. It's
hurt.
so scary. Even the 25 gauge is scary. For the listeners that don't know, so if you're my patient, you get this because you've been there, done that. But for listeners who don't know, and it took me a while to grasp the concept too, the smaller the number, the gauge of the needle, the bigger it is. So when you're
Yes.
talking about like peptides, we're using an insulin needle that it's like a 30, 31 gauge, and it's
Yep.
really teeny tiny, and it's not scary at all, and you barely even feel it. But as you go down in those numbers, the needle itself gets bigger.
That's right. And let me tell you what I've done in the past, like when I'm tired or just got too much on my mind. So you will when you draw, like your testosterone out, I use an 18. Okay. So that fucker is like that is it's almost like intimidating to look at. Well,
It is.
there's been a couple times where I do that and then I'm just not thinking and I'm like,
Oh no.
why isn't this going in? Why isn't it going in? And then I take a look and like, oh shit, if that would have went in, what? But it doesn't really go. You know what
It's
I
too
mean?
big. It's just too
Yeah, it
big.
just doesn't go. So if you find yourself like injecting and it's not going, pull back real quick and take a look, because there's a reason it might not be going into the skin,
Maybe
because
you
you
didn't
might,
change the needle.
yeah, it's like trying to catch an orca whale or something. You know what I mean? It's like you just don't do it. Don't do it. So, yes, but you could do like a 27, 29, needle just fine, I guess, too. It'd be fine. And you can certainly do. It's just when you're doing like sub Q, it should be a much lower dose. For women, it's much more acceptable than men. I have no issue with women and even men do it whatever you see fit. But I would prefer women going that route as opposed to men, because it's a lower dose and it's easier. And
Now, is there any benefit for women multi-dosing through the week? So for men, like if we took a 200 milligram dose of testosterone cypionate and we break it up, like you said, twice a week, okay, 100, 100. And that keeps a more steady pattern of a pulse, more steady pulse of the testosterone. But if a woman is doing, let's say, 10 milligrams a week, is there any benefit of breaking it into five and five or not
I
really?
mean, not it's I don't think it's so necessary, because with the men, it's you need so much more, and it's so much more going in when you're talking 10, 20 milligrams. Even if you went 50 each dose, I could argue you don't have to. But I would say this: try it, just see what happens. Just test them both out and see if you feel better. That's all it would be. So I'm always a trial and error guy, and so just be careful and try things out and see how you feel.
I love it. I love it. So I want to move from here into Anavar or oxandrolone. I personally want to pick your brain on it. I spoke about this on Ben Greenfield's podcast because I'm very passionate about it. I love that it's been brought back into the medical community. I love that we can use it on women, on people, on women that don't tolerate testosterone. So I have so much in my mind to pick your brain with. So I guess let's lay the groundwork for oxandrolone slash Anavar.
So, okay. I will t I'm just gonna I'm gonna preface this right off the bat. I have put out a lot of videos and a lot of content for women when it comes to steroids. I am not a fan of women using steroids. I never have been, and it's my protective nature, and just because that I know that it's just not, and take this as a guy that actually cares, they're not meant for women. However, the one steroid that I have actually said, okay, fine, I'll coach you on this, is Anavar. And it's the one that women tolerate the most. But let me point this out. I actually have a video that discusses the myths of Anavar, and one of the biggest myths is that it's just so mild. It is more mild than other compounds. That is an absolute fact. But to like look at it as though, oh, this is so mild, women run it, you know, da 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 da. That is not the case. It is a toxic oral steroid. And when I say that, when you take an oral steroid, it goes through a process. It's called C17 alpha alkylation, meaning it's altered so it can pass through the liver and get through. But what that does is it's methylated, and methylation can harm your liver. It can harm your kidneys. It can rack your cholesterol. It can rack your blood pressure. And over time, even though our liver is resilient and our body parts are resilient, this is very, very problematic. And that's why I tell people when they run Anavar, do not exceed 6 weeks of it. Do not go over a certain amount of doses.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen people run it longer, and I've seen a slew of problems. And okay. So I'm very cautious with oral steroid use. However, women tolerate Anavar quite well. I just am very careful with women's dosing. I always start them at 5 milligrams.
Yep.
And I don't take them any higher than 20. And that's like the hardcore bodybuilding women that really want to go harder. Now, I've seen women tolerate Primobolan pretty decently, which is my favorite steroid, by the way. I have this thing about women and steroids where I'm more comfortable with peptides and SARMs because I just don't think most women, now, I understand times have changed, but most women don't want male characteristics and don't want deepening of voice. And some of that shit's irreversible. Mm-hmm. Now, chances of that happening with Anavar are low.
Right.
But, you know, it's a DHT compound, which means it could also potentially cause hair loss. And so these are just things that you have to keep in mind with any steroid. Now, there's a lot of benefits that women have with Anavar. Just don't think that you're going to use Anavar and just start losing a bunch of weight, or if you're overweight, that it's going to do all of these things that people think, because that's just not the case.
Well, that's what I wanted to get into because, all right, well, I guess let's back up the history of Anavar, or the I don't think they can even use the term Anavar anymore. It's just oxandrolone because you can only get it from compounding pharmacies. Literally, Pfizer or one of the big pharma companies used to make it for muscle wasting for yep. AIDS patients, just like you mentioned about SARMs. They made yep. it to protect muscle and protect against sarcopenia.
Yes.
So it really, yep. I mean, it came to market with a purpose. And through the years, just like bodybuilders do, we start experimenting and we go, hey, wait a minute. This actually helps a little bit with muscle and strength gain. But you are correct, Dylan, in that, you know, back in my day when I was competing, women were using it for cutting. And yeah, I mean, okay, you could argue if I'm increasing muscle and increasing strength, naturally I'll lose more fat because maybe my workouts are better and muscle is more metabolically active anyways, but it's not specifically for fat loss. And it does have some effect on testosterone, correct?
Yeah.
Even though it's not a testosterone product, it's not a hormone like testosterone cypionate is.
Right. I mean, just remember that every steroid that you use is derived from testosterone and altered, but they are suppressive to your natural testosterone. So they will shut you down. And that's, you know, with women, so here's a story. I when I lived in Vegas, I was at one of the Botox clinics that I was going to, and I was waiting, and this girl recognized me from YouTube, and she started asking me questions, and she told me that she had used Anavar for 4 years straight. And
oh.
never came off. And she was an absolute wreck. And I didn't even know what to do at that time because I was still kind of in my earlier stages. And I was like, because I'd only been really into this 3 or 4 years at that time. And while I was versed, and I was like, this is like the reality of things of what's going on. And people that don't understand, you can't just stay on these things like that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, in terms of the cutting. So Anavar, one of the things about Anavar is that it will target, and let me say this very clear, stubborn belly fat. That does not mean that if you're 100 pounds overweight, that it's going to target all of that fat and just make it come off of you. If you're in really nice condition, let's just say you're 12% body fat and you're having trouble getting over that under that 10% mark. And you've got like, you know, men have flank, you know, is like an mm-hmm. issue for them, or women like directly into the stomach, it will target that. And it can certainly help. And it's a muscle hardener. Mm-hmm. So the leaner you are, the more you're going to see in terms of vascularity and muscle hardening. So you will develop a grainier look. And that's why a lot of people will use it at the end of a cycle, because they're polishing off their cycle in steroid terms or bro terms with the polishing.
Right.
I would argue that it is one of the best muscle hardening steroids behind Winstrol and Masteron. So it definitely has that benefit. But if you're looking for something that's going to be a weight loss drug or magically put you into shape, you just understand that's not what steroids do. And when you do that, you actually may see results, but you're causing yourself more problems down the road than what you think and understand.
Now, what do you think about this though? So women who, there are certain women out there, I mean, I could give them a drop of testosterone and they're reacting. Yeah. They're breaking out. They're growing a beard, the whole deal. They're like, I can't even. Is this, because I've used it, but I want your opinion on it. Is this a good alternative for those women who their poor testosterone's in the toilet? They're losing libido. They're losing strength. They're losing their muscle mass. They can't put on muscle to save their life. Would cycling oxandrolone be a good alternative?
I mean, you certainly could cycle it. Yeah, you just can't stay on it permanently. The good part of that is you could have some correction and certainly see some correction. The bad part of that is when you come off of it and you have suppressed. So what I would say is if you have to go that route and you want to go that route, there's a couple things that you need to do. One, you need to be very, very in tune with your ALT, your AST, you know, like your liver. For
yep.
People that aren't watching, your liver function tests, your BUN, your creatinine levels, things mm-hmm. like that. So you'd be very well in tune with that cholesterol. And I'm talking comprehensive cholesterol, not just LDL, HDL. But another thing that you may want to consider doing is in between those cycles, and don't run the cycles too close together, is just get on a testosterone booster, like a good one, not a bullshit one. I mean, there's so many bullshit ones. Yeah. And I'm not telling you it's going to fix you. I would just be sitting here looking in the camera being a flat stone liar if I'm telling you an herbal testosterone booster is going to correct this, but it certainly will help if you get a good
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
That's another conversation where I have to like talk about what to look for and what not to, but that's certainly an option that you could do. I don't like putting people on Clomid and Clomiphene, all of these things that were not intended for this. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's not what you should do. HCG, which is always misused. And then some people will put aromatase inhibitors thinking they're going to fix testosterone production. All of these things, no. Don't do
right.
it. Just don't do it. If you want to try something, do try the natural testosterone booster. The worst thing that could happen is you lose $50.
Right.
Because it sucks. The best thing that could happen is, wow, we got some alleviation here and we're avoiding all the problems.
Yeah.
So okay. Rather lose $50 than have a fucked up blood panel.
Yeah. Exactly. I love it. All right.
Yeah.
We gotta round out. We have about 10 more minutes before I have a hard stop, but I got to pick your brain on the GLPs because you and I talked about it a little bit beforehand. So I want your opinion on the GLPs, misuse of, and microdosing.
Okay. So I'm pretty sure that we talked about this, that I was at the Eudaimonia convention, which is a biohacking convention for anybody that, you know, isn't aware. And I went to what I was really excited to go to because I'm, you know, I know a pretty decent amount about GLPs, but I'm learning still in that learning phase because they're still newer. And I went to what I thought was a discussion on GLPs and what turned out to be an absolute slugfest of one side being so, so for them and the other side just thinking they were the end of the world, right?
Okay.
So, okay, let's, semaglutide is Ozempic, correct?
Right. And
then there's tirzepatide, Mounjaro, and now there's retruatide, which is the newest one, which is supposedly the strongest one.
But that's not out yet in, just to clarify for the listeners, that's, retruatide is not out in compounding pharmacies or for prescription. It is only on the research.
That's right.
Based websites only, yeah.
That's correct, yes. I mean, basically, just a GLP-1 is a glucagon-like peptide. And basically, what semaglutide is used for is treatment of type 2 diabetes. But then, obviously, we're using it for fat loss is what everybody's using it for now. And then there's the argument of everybody's taking it up away from the diabetes patients that need them, et cetera. Look, semaglutide has benefits. You and I talked about this beforehand. And one of the things... So JJ Virgin was the one that actually made all the sense when I was listening in, because you had arguments like Jillian Michaels was on one end, just losing her fucking mind about how terrible it was. And then these guys that are all science-based were talking about the benefits of it. When in reality, the microdosing benefit is what I find to be intriguing to where I was even going to consider using it. And we're talking about when you've got things that are going to help your liver, that are going to boost your immune system functioning, things like that. I mean, I've seen people use it for cognitive help.
Yep.
And that is huge. And it certainly does have glycemic control. I mean, it really does. That's what it's intended for. The problem is when you use this too long, here's what I gathered the biggest problem is and what I've seen. You're using it too high or too long. All you're really doing is suppressing your appetite, right? So you're just eating far less, which is inducing the weight loss. And I don't have the exact study numbers in front of me, but I believe what the science guys were talking about was that they were showing in the studies that after like 6 months of use, you were seeing about a 20% fat loss. And I believe after a year, it was even higher. It was like 25. It was right there. Anyway, their argument was, is now they're putting like kids on this shit that are like 6 and 7 years old, and that they want you to take this for the rest of your life. Because guess what happens? You stop taking this, you're not only going to gain the weight back, you're going to gain more back. And that's the problem. So I would say the benefits are there, yes, but the misuse is prevalent. And then you see like Ozempic face, and you can tell when people are overdoing it. And like these, don't listen. It comes to politics. It comes to behavioral things. Don't do what a celebrity does, because they're just another fucking person and they're just good at acting or singing or whatever the hell else it is. It doesn't mean they're smart. It doesn't mean that they're politically smart. It doesn't mean they're health conscious. It just means that they're good at fucking acting or singing and they probably don't know shit else. So please don't follow that at all. Follow the doctors, follow the science, not the assholes.
True.
There's like my spiel. There's my spiel.
I like it. No, when you get fired up, you sound like me. So I love it. But no, I'm with you. And Ozempic face is real. The lean muscle loss is real. I've shared with my audience time and again that when Mounjaro first came out, and this is what we do, we experiment. I'm like, ooh, yeah, let me see what it does. Right.
Yeah,
and being a part of it is I experiment on myself for all y'all. I do it to myself so I can report back and tell you here's what's going on and here's what it does. Well, I was on this thing, and then the Peter Attia article comes out that, hey, turns out we're seeing some lean muscle loss with these GLPs. Mm-hmm. And at first I read it, I was like, nah, that's overrated. That's not
it's
true.
Real.
And I kid you not, weeks later, I had like my mother's arms, like where I saw I saw loose skin. I'm like, I lost muscle. Oh my God. So that is real. And the beauty of, and what is that phrase? It's that the cure or the poison is in the dose. So literally you could use a microdose, not have any appetite loss, no nausea, no heartburn, no Ozempic face, nothing, not even realize you're on it, but yet it's working beneath the surface to just keep your metabolism up a little bit. And then you get that neurocognitive protection and you get the liver protection. And you get all those benefits without the side effects. As soon as you move into side effects, that's a huge red flag to your body. And you don't power through it. You know, you don't say, well, I lost my appetite for 3 days and then I'm okay. No, that is a red flag that you are on the incorrect dose and you will pay the price of that eventually.
Yes, that is absolutely correct. And I hope people pay attention to that. Listen to your body, plain and simple.
Yeah.
You know, Jay Campbell, obviously, and he, me and him were talking about Mounjaro at the Mr. Olympia, and he was giving me the most staggering numbers of how much was sold. And that did not factor in research chemical sites. That was just in general, it was in the billions. And I know how much research chemical sites sell of it. I will say this, and I've talked to Dr. Elizabeth Yurth is one of the people that I am so fond of and close with. And so we have serious discussions a lot about shit, and I trust her very, very much when it comes to everything. And she assured me that retruatide will be by far the strongest of these three, by far. but it's not ready yet. Obviously, there's more stuff being done, but I will say that it definitely is going to be it's kind of. So I asked her and I said, so I will look at it like this. First, there was Viagra, then there was Cialis, then there was Levitra, and we just kept getting a little bit different mechanisms, a little bit more strength. So it's kind of similar to that with semaglutide, tirzepatide, retruatide.
Yep.
But I think retruatide is going to be far stronger than the other two. So I don't have a ton of data on it to go over, and I don't have a ton of people that have used it. I have recently been talking about it, and there are people testing it out right now. So when I have more data, I'm going to put more out on it. But I just know what I know that I've been told by some professionals.
Yep. Yeah, that's where I'm at with it too. It's just, you know, I heard Jay talk about it. He raves about it, but I haven't tried it yet and I haven't had anyone try it yet. So we'll see. We'll see what comes down the pipeline. But oh my God, Dylan, this has been amazing. This has been absolutely amazing. This has been, oh my gosh, probably one of the best discussions I've had in a long time.
Thank you so much.
It's just real. It's just, I love being real with people.
I do too.
So can you tell people where they can find you, follow you, reach out to you for help?
Yeah, it's very, very simple for me. Everything is just at Dylan Gemelli. It's just my first and last name. If you Google it, there's everything will pop up. Now, I will tell you this right now. My YouTube channel is called PE Fitness. That was Performance Enhancement Fitness. But I will be rebranding it to Dylan Gemelli Biohacking as soon as all my logos and everything are done. But it's easy to find. And then one of my channels that was deleted before, I appealed it 4 years later and got it reinstated. And so that was just Dylan Gemelli Fitness. I haven't updated that a lot, but I'm going to do a lot of my old style videos there and more newer stuff with more biohacking and more. All my podcast stuff will be there. So those are the easiest places to find me. And then just DylanGemelli@gmail.com. Very simple.
Love it. Love it. We'll put that all in the show notes. So I so appreciate your time today and your brain dump. I love it.
I love it. I really appreciate it. And you know how much I love talking to you and how much I love you. So I just thank you for having me on.
We'll do more. We will definitely do more.
Oh, yeah.
So until next time.
Thank you.